Heal the Land 3. 60 Minutes. This is Minister Herman Parks, and I will be your host for this next hour of intercessory prayer. Please feel welcome to call in for prayer for yourself and for your loved ones. This forum is for the predominant purpose of interceding on behalf of God's people through prayer. To pray ye one for another. Mostly, to pray for the healing of the land. That is to pray for those issues which plague us collectively, which are called strongholds. The impetus of this prayer will be taken from 2 Chronicles 7:14, which reads, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." Let us pray. Lord, when I look around, it seems to me that most of us would love to have a healing ministry, or healing is important to many of us. Many of us would like to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. That is just something that is within us as your born-again children. Lord, we want to impart healing to other people. That is just something that we want to see. Lord, you created us in your image. You gave us your attributes. Knowing that it is in us, we should that much more understand that it is in you. Because it is you who is creating the desire in us to see others healed. What I am talking about is your willingness to heal us. First, I want to create an environment for healing. I want to create an environment conducive to understanding that healing is here right now. Your word is alive. There is enough healing in the atmosphere for us all. You have placed it here, but sometimes we have not created our own environment for health and healing in our own lives. Therefore, sometimes we need you to help us in that. Lord, I want healing to take place now. I will pray and believe God for us all. I have seen healing take place in my life. In fact, there were physical manifestations of healings at a healing revival that I recently attended, including in my own life. I want to see that take place here, and I believe it will. Lord, I also want us to learn how to share these principles, these truths and this power with other people. We need healing. We need ministers who are not afraid to preach healing. Lord, you asked the question, which is easier, to say thy sins be forgiven, or take up your bed and walk. That is a rhetorical question. For us it is far easier to say thy sins be forgiven, because it does not require proof. Lord, I want us to be ministers of healing, ambassadors of healing, ones who will carry this healing to other people. Lord, this is a never-ending subject. Lord, I pray that those within the sound of my voice will open themselves up to all healing teachers. Everybody has a different perspective and a different slice of the pie. Lord, I am going to bring what you have put in me. Yet, I am not in any way thinking, nor declaring that I have all the truth on this. I pray that those who hear me will listen to others that speak also. For your word declares that he that has an ear, let him hear. I pray that those who hear me would buy books about healing. I pray that they would get whatever they need to get. For Lord, your word says these things are written for your learning. We can learn from others. We do not have to bang our heads up against the wall to learn that banging our head up against the wall is not a good thing to do. We can read another man's book and acquire in ours what it took him a lifetime to learn. I pray that others let the Holy Spirit guide you in this. For your word says that we should work out our own salvation. We should not just fix on one particular person or one particular kind of healing. There are many ways that you bring healing to us. There are many different ministers that have great revelation in certain areas. So, I pray that we do not close ourselves off to anyone. And I am not reporting to have everything on this subject. I pray that others will be open to all things in the realm of healing. Lord, when I go through the gospel and I read about your life or about your ministry, one of the first things that I notice is that you never taught healing. I do not know if anyone noticed that. Healing followed you, but you never taught healing. Yet, we spend hours and there are multitudes of books teaching healing. Why do we have to teach healing, Lord? Probably one of the main reasons we have to teach healing now is because we have 2,000 years of bad teaching about healing. Healing has become something that the church first of all did not always understand and later did not always embrace, and finally the church began to teach against healing as the centuries rolled by. Sickness began to be embraced as a tool of God. The church began to teach, if it be thy will. We began to teach that maybe, just maybe, there is some redemptive purpose for sickness. Lord, you know, and I pray that we your people would know, that the devil meant it for evil, but you used it for good. So we have so much bad teaching about healing that it has become necessary to teach on healing. Yet, when you look at your life and your ministry, we see that you did not walk around teaching about healing. Therefore, we have to do some correcting, some mind renewing, and one of the things that we are going to try to do here is to renew our minds to this topic. Jesus, you said in Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." So I say that your Spirit is on me, even in this hour of intercessory prayer. Jesus, you came to preach the gospel or the kingdom of God, that is to manifest the kingdom of God. You came to set right that which was out of order, to make right that which was wrong. Jesus, you went on to explain in Luke 9:11, that the manifestation of the kingdom of God was healing. You said, "And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them, and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing." Jesus, you proclaimed the kingdom of God to everyone, and healed them that had need of healing, as a demonstration or as a manifestation of the kingdom of God. So your heart was to proclaim the kingdom, and in that message there was power to heal those who came, because the kingdom consists of your power to heal. The kingdom consists of your will, and your will is that your people be healed. As you are, so are we in this world. As you are, so am I, in this world. God, you said that you have delivered us from the power of darkness, and have translated us into the kingdom of your dear Son. Lord, you said that you have delivered us from the power of darkness. You have delivered us from the power of sickness. You have delivered us from the power of poverty. You have delivered us from the power of failure. You have delivered us from defeat. You have delivered us from depression. You have delivered us from ourselves. Lord, some of us have our spirits in the kingdom, but our hormones and our brains are still in the world. We are choosing to live by our hormones, rather than by our renewed spirit. We are living by our experience, and our experience is sickness. Whether we understand it, or whether we are participating or not, we have been delivered from the power of darkness. We have all been delivered into the kingdom. Now, Jesus, you went about preaching the kingdom, and received all who came to you. Jesus, you healed us. What kingdom are we living in? Nevertheless, we need our minds renewed. Our mind alone cannot necessarily heal us. We need a revelation in our spirit of who we are and where we live, and of what we have been delivered from. We are going to be renewing our minds during this time. Our spirit needs to understand that we do not live in the other kingdom. We do not live under the power of sickness. That is not the power that rules in our kingdom. Jesus, you said that the kingdom was in us. Therefore, you said that the power that is in us is a power that is health and healing and life. Lord, everything that we need is in the kingdom. We can reach out and take it. This is where a lot of us need to make that decision, that we are not going to live by our unrenowned minds. Lord, we make a deliberate decision not to live by our flesh. We are not going to live by our hormones. We are not going to live the way the world would have us to live. We are going to accept the fact that we have been translated into the kingdom. In the kingdom is our life, our health, our healing and our power to live. That is where health and life are. In the kingdom you has given us promises that we might receive the kingdom in us. Lord, healing follows the gospel. When we preach the gospel, we expect people to get saved, and it is the icing on the cake if they get healed. Actually, Lord, the whole cake is salvation and healing. There should be just as many healings as there are salvations in the kingdom. In other words, Lord, the whole package is available if we would preach the whole package. Lord, we have broken it up into bite-sized pieces for people, and sometimes we only preach one bite. Lord, we must be born again. Yes, we must. The minute that we are born again, we can be filled with the Holy Spirit and healed too, instantaneously. Lord, in fact, we can be healed before we are filled with the Spirit. Lord, some of us actually know people who were healed before they were saved. Healing is part of the kingdom, and the kingdom is being preached. There is enough healing in the kingdom for every person on this earth. Healing has been provided for everyone. We have been translated from the power of darkness into the kingdom, and in the kingdom is healing. Jesus, when you preach the kingdom, you receive all who come unto you, and they get healed. There is really no reason any of us cannot be healed if we are living in the kingdom. Lord, when I read your word, I can identify with Philip. Philip started off as a waiter. He was setting tables. Philip was just a guy in the church. Your word says that he was full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Well, we should all be full of faith and the Holy Spirit. He was not one of the apostles. He was just a guy who had been chosen to set tables. Lord, I can identify with that. I once was a messenger, so I can go all the way back to that, and I can identify with Philip. Lord, your word talks about Philip in Acts 8:5-12. It says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Lord, your word says that Philip preached Christ. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, Philip was preaching the kingdom, the demonstration of the kingdom message was that people were getting delivered. They were getting healed. And this was a guy that was setting tables shortly before that. Lord, we have that same power in us. We all have that same anointing, that same ability, you living in us. You are the same in all of us. Yet, for some reason, some of us have separated this healing thing. The reason we have separated it is because it is visible. We are much more comfortable talking about the invisible. When it comes to the visible, then we shrink back, and we say, what if it doesn't work? Because we can see healing. Because we are shrinking back, we are losing the power of the message of the kingdom, and people are not getting what has been provided for them. Perhaps we are not understanding how the kingdom works. Lord, your word says in Matthew 11:12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Can we reach out and take the kingdom violently, with passion or with force? Lord, your word says in Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Lord, we can say with confidence that all of our spiritual blessings are already in the kingdom of heaven, including our healing. We do not have to speak it into existence, because God, you already created it and placed it in the kingdom, and have sat down and rested. The message of the kingdom is for our spirit, soul and body. It is not just for our spirits. To the same degree that our spirit has been transformed, our body can be renewed, and our youth can be renewed like the eagle. Lord, if we could just envision in our spirit the Holy Spirit, and then let the Holy Spirit out. If we could, in our divine imaginations, see the cells of our body, see the Holy Spirit flowing from our spirit into those cells and bringing life and restoration, receptive miracles, healing. That is the kingdom power. That is the Spirit of God within us. It is not a message just for our spirit. It is so that our spirit can become a factory of health and life, of healing for our entire body and for other people's bodies. We have been translated from the kingdom of darkness, from the power of darkness, into the kingdom of your Son. The kingdom message is a healing message of the spirit, soul, and body. Lord, you said in 1 Corinthians 4:24, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Lord, you declared that the kingdom is the power place. It is a power message. It is a message that will touch your spirit, soul, and body. Nothing is left out of the kingdom message. Lord, in respect to your will, your health and healing, many of us miss out on their healing because we think, and this is where the wrong teaching has come in over the years, we think that you have some purpose in our sickness, or for some reason we deserve the sickness, to teach us something. Lord, you describe that as in consciousness. Lord, you said that guilt and sin consciousness open the door for sickness. Many of us feel like we are not worthy to be healed. We feel that we deserve this. We know what we have done that made this happen. We say like the centurion, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Basically, what we are saying is that there is not enough provision for our body in redemption. We are saying that God, you can forgive our spirit for our sins, but our body is going to have to suck it up. That is what we are thinking subconsciously, or perhaps even consciously. Oh Lord, I pray that we, like the centurion, would have a revelation from you, O Lord. Jesus, you have good news. There is enough grace in Jesus Christ for our body. There is enough grace. There is enough provision for every cell of our body. Everything in our body should, and can, submit to the will of God, and your will is that we have a long and prosperous life. Death does not have to come by sickness. Death is when our spirit leaves our body. The body without the spirit is dead. That does not mean that we have to get sick. Our body is mortal. It is going to run its course. We do not have to finish our course sick. We can finish our course healthy. We run our course. We finish our race, and then our spirit leaves our body. We do not have to be sick for that to happen. Lord, we have understood and bought the world's way of thinking that as we get older, all these different sicknesses have to happen. We have them all listed out. We say this is what is going to happen at each age. And then we die. We do not have to live that way. We are going to think kingdom thoughts here. We are not going to think what the world wants us to think. Lord, many of us are already getting stuff in the mail about insurance for our nursing home years. Many places will send us at least one a week. They are really trying to get us thinking that way. Lord, I believe personally we have been given 120 years. We talk about 70 or 80 in Psalms. That was the curse on Israel in the desert. That is not our promise. That is not a promise at all. That is a curse. Yet, we latch onto that. That is an unrenewed thinking. That is talking about Israel in the desert for rebelling, and the church has latched onto that and said this is our promise. No. That was their curse. Our promise is 120. We have submitted ourselves to what the world says. We are programming ourselves for the nursing home just like they say. Lord, many people that I talk to about living to be 120 years old, respond with, they do not want to live that long, because they see themselves as being old, senile, and physically impaired by that age. Yet your word declares that Moses lived to 120. His eyes were not dim, nor his senses abated. In other words, he was not physically sick, nor mentally impaired. He simply gave up the ghost. Lord, we must get renewed in the spirit of your mind, and decide to finish your course with strength. Amen. Lord, we should line the way we think about ourselves up with the way you think about us. We should refuse to think about ourselves the way that the world thinks about us. We should plan to be teaching for a long time. We should be projecting ourselves in kingdom life, not the way the world would have us think. I'm trying to project myself, realizing that I have been translated from the power of how the world thinks into your kingdom, and your will is health and healing. Lord, faith is born when your will is known in our hearts. Faith for your healing is born hopefully in this hour of prayer. Healing is the result of faith in our heart. Healing is your will. Lord, in the beginning when you created the earth, there was no sickness in the earth. It was very good. It was perfect. It was gorgeous. We cannot imagine how unbelievably good it was. Now, Lord, when we jump forward a few thousand years to Acts 10:38, to get to your heart, here we have you ministering, and there appears to be a lot of sickness. Jesus, here we see how God anointed you with the Holy Ghost and with power, and how you went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Lord, where you are healing is. Lord, where you are life is. Where you are strength is, power is, victory is, joy and peace are. That is you, Jesus. For God is with you. You went about healing because God was there. God was in you. God was around you. And so healing follows God. Wherever God is, healing is. God in us. You are in us. Healing is in us. Healing is in us now. All of the power that is necessary to fix whatever is wrong, whatever ails us, is in us now. To make whatever is out of order, in order, is in us now. The power is there. Jesus, because God was with you, You brought healing. Jesus, you are here. Therefore, healing is here. Can we imagine being in place with such power, such healing? This gathering should be a place of such power and such healing, because after all, who is here? Jesus, you are here, and because you are here, healing is here. Lord, I get torn because I have to teach it. It bothers me that I have to teach it. I would rather just see it released. Nevertheless, we have so many roadblocks and barriers in our minds and things that we have to undo, so we have to intercede through prayer. Praise God. But the word that we are teaching and interceding with has the power to heal us, because you are in the word. It is your word. Wherever you are, healing is. Lord, we went back to Genesis in the beginning, through Acts to introduce healing, and now we're at Revelation 22:2 at the end of things, just to show you the heart of God. I do not know what things we are talking about, but I think we are into the new heaven and the new earth at this point. Revelation 22:2 says, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Lord, so even in Revelation, God, you are still concerned with healing. Healing, from the word which we get the word therapy, in this sense, physical healing. At the very end of the book, God, you are still bringing healing. Lord, in Acts 10:38, Jesus, you went about doing good, because God was with you, healing those who were oppressed, because God was with you. In Genesis 1:38, you did not create sickness. You created, and everything was very good. So God, your willingness was health and heart was healing, all through Scripture. Lord, now let us look again at your willingness to heal in John 6:38. This is to get us all on the same page, that God wants us well. I believe it is amazing how many people would have already choked on this message and are wanting to fight me. Lord, help us all. Lord, in many Christian groups, We could not have gotten this far into this topic without many of us wanting to duke it out logically. Lord, what is wrong with that picture? Lord, why do we believe that you need something that you did not even create, and something that your presence makes flee? Why do we think that you need that for us, or uses it, or allows it? Why do we think that way? Why do we think that you need something that you call sin, a conscious mind at work? Lord, we can identify sin consciousness and guilt in religion the moment the subject of healing comes up. Lord, this is the subject that reveals where we all are doctrinally, what our concept of God is. Lord, after talking to a person about healing for about 5 minutes, if they talk back, I will know what their concept of God is. Lord, if I am in error, please help me. Lord, this is where the rubber meets the road. Lord, John 6:38 says, "For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Jesus came to do the Father's will. According to Acts 10:38, Jesus, you went healing all who were oppressed of the devil. You did not come to do your will, but the Father's will. You said he went about healing all who were oppressed, because God was with you. Jesus, it was like God was just hanging over your shoulder. There is another one. Heal him. There is another one. Heal him. There is another one. Heal him. That was God's will. God was wanting this to happen. If we are not healed, it has nothing to do with God's will. God, your will is that all be healed. Your will is that we finish out our days. Lord, the place where many of us stumble is understanding how willing you are to heal us. Many of us think that, well, this has lasted for 12 years. I guess, well, God does not want me well. Jesus, you are so more willing than we can imagine. Lord, your word addresses this very issue in Mark 5:22-30. Lord, verse 24 says, "And you went with him." You did not say, "Let me check my calendar." You said, "I will." Lord, in verse 30, your word says that the woman who had the issue of blood touched you, and you did not even know who touched you. Now wait a minute. When the leper came up, the leper says, if you will, and you said, I will. When Jairus came up, Jairus said, if you would just come to my house, and you are taking off towards his house. Now in the midst of all this, the little woman with the issue of blood somehow makes her way to you, and she touches you, and the power flows out of you into her, and you are not even involved in the situation. You do not even know who she is. Who touched me? So the question to us is, who willed it in this case? How is that possible? Because in 2 Corinthians 1:20 it says, all your promises, Jesus, are yes and amen. When we touch you by faith, all we are going to get is yes and amen. That is all that is in you. Yes and amen. So you willed with the leper. You willed with Jairus. She willed in her case. She willed. Will we? Will we take what you, Jesus, died to give us? Will we realize that your willingness far exceeds our need? Your provision far exceeds our need. Your power far exceeds the little grimy thing that might be living in us. Your power is so much greater than that. Whatever organism, whatever illegal intruder, whatever DNA problem, whatever it is nothing in the sight of your compassion, your provision, your blood, Jesus. Nothing can stand in the face of that. You are willing. Are we willing? Sometimes we are willing with our minds, but we have not become willing in our spirits. Our spirit man is saved, but our flesh and soul man still wants to mess around in the other world. We have to get our whole spirit, soul and body over into the kingdom. Amen. She touched you with purpose. Jesus, you will meet us at the point of our faith. Jesus, you met the leper at the point of his faith. You met Jairus at the point of his faith. You met the woman at the point of her faith. Now, the centurion says, I have a servant at home tormented. The centurion says, I am not worthy. There is this unconsciousness. He says, I am not worthy that you should come." That did not even stop his faith. "I am not worthy that you should be under my roof. But I have revelation of authority." The centurion is still dealing with his own guilt and sin consciousness. But let me tell you, even if we are dealing with that, if we have a revelation of you, Jesus, the revelation will transcend our guilt. The revelation will transcend our unworthiness. Faith will transcend our unworthiness. Now, sin consciousness will kill our faith in most cases. Nevertheless, even so, a revelation of your righteousness, your authority, will heal us. Jesus, you will meet us at the point of our faith. Jesus, you said about the centurion, "And I have never seen so great a faith even in all of Israel." Jesus, you met him at the point of his faith. What is the point of our faith? Where is our faith? Some of us, we do not even know where our faith is, because we have the teaching, we have the doctrine, we know the ABCs and understand that your will, God, is healing, and yet none of that is faith. That is a renewed mind and right thinking. Yet, faith is when, like Kenneth Hagin, it makes a trip from our understanding to our hearts. When it becomes alive. When it becomes real. When it becomes our revelation of your will for our life. Faith is when we can say, "I am part of that whosoever." Faith is when our heart tells us that you want us to live a long, prosperous life and strengthened in health. When we get that revelation, that is when the set you free is going to release faith. Jesus, you willed for the leper. Jesus, you willed for Jairus. The woman willed for herself. Jesus, you willed for the centurion. Is it his will that I be healed? Jesus, in Mark 2, you asked a question to today's church, whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," or to say, "Arise, and take up thy bed, and walk"? Lord, despite our theological answers, it is easier for us to believe that our sins are forgiven. Why? Because we cannot see our sins. What were you saying here, Lord? If we think about this and meditate on it, the man was healed. Arise, take up your bed and walk. And everybody marveled. He was healed because his sins were forgiven. Jesus, you heal multitudes of people in these 3.5 years. That means that their sins were forgiven. It is the forgiveness of our sins that releases the power to heal. If our sins are forgiven, we should be healed. To the degree that we see salvation, we should see healing. They should go hand in hand. Our sins are forgiven. Look, to show you that our sins are forgiven, be healed. Get up. Jesus, everyone that you healed, their sins were forgiven. We know that our sins are forgiven because we are healed. All of us have had our sins forgiven. So how many of us still choose to sin sometimes? We can still choose to sin. We can still choose to be sick, but there has been provision made. Yet if we have been forgiven, our healing is just as available as holiness is available. We can walk in holiness, or we can walk in sin. We can walk in health or in sickness. It has all been provided for us. If we have been forgiven, then we have been healed. That is good news. Lord, in Luke 9:2 you said that you sent the apostles to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So first the Bible has you going about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil because your Father was with you. You were one going about healing. Now, you called your 12 together and gave them the same power and authority, and told them to heal the sick. At that point we had 13 healers. Lord, you went on to say in Luke 10 that you appointed other 70 also, bringing us up to 83 to heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Healing is important to you, Lord. It is a demonstration of the message of your love. It is a demonstration of the message of our redemption. It is the manifestation of what the message is all about, that things are out of order. Your kingdom puts things in order, and if we would get our minds wrapped around this, get our spirit tuned with this, and understand that the power to heal is already in us. All it has to do is be released. Lord, if we would lie back on our bed, in our chair or whatever, close our eyes and meditate on this. Lord, if we would realize that the power we need for every cell of our body is in our reborn spirit, because you are in us, and there is no lack. So here we are, Lord, up to 83 people ministering healing. Lord, your word says in Mark 16:17-18, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Who are the signs following? Just the 12? Just the 83? No. All that believe. Just as all of us that believe have the ability to be saved, all of us that believe have the ability to cast out demons, all of us that believe have the ability to speak in new tongues, all of us that believe have the ability to take up serpents or drink any deadly thing, and it shall not hurt us. Lord, finally and equally important, all that believe have the ability to lay hands on the sick and have them recover. Lord, help our disbelief. Lord, to be more precise, the only gift available for the things mentioned in Mark 16 is the gift of healing. Nevertheless, Lord, you declared that we can do all of the things mentioned in Mark 16 if we believe. Who are we to say that we can only heal if we have the gift of healing? Lord, if we lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Lord, you told the disciples to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You said he that believeth shall be saved. The believers that we are talking about comes from those who were preached to. The believers were not limited to the apostles or the preachers. This means in no uncertain terms that all saints are members of the group of believers, not just the apostles, preachers, or the teachers. The believers will then lay hands on the sick and cause the sick to recover. Lord, it is clear that healing is not limited to those who have the gift of healing. Rather, it is a characteristic of all saints. Lord, to you be the glory for the preaching of your word. Lord, just as some of us that is your people who are called by your name. Believe that healing has passed away. Some saints believe that if we lay hands on the sick, they might recover. Or only saints who have the gift of healing can lay hands on the sick and have them recover. Likewise, Lord, many of us believe that we can only lay hands on ourselves and have ourselves recover, if it be thy will. Again, I say, who willed for the woman? As my mom would say, this is a case of the pot calling the kettle black. We complain about others who do not believe, when we ourselves do not believe. Or as the Bible would say, this is a case of accusing and excusing. We complain when other people do a thing to us. Then we turn around and do the same thing to others. Therefore, we are without excuse. The fact is, the will of God is written on our hearts. Our accusing others of proclaiming healing has passed away is evidence that we know that God heals all our diseases. Therefore, we are without excuse when you say, if it be thy will. It is always your will to heal us, just as it is always your will to save us. After all, salvation and healing is the same Greek word, sozo. Of course, we have to cooperate with your will by faith. It is not going to sovereignly come to pass, even though it is your will for us to recover. Jesus, you have commissioned, commanded, and ordained we the church be against sickness. Lord, when the Israelites came out of Egypt, there was not one sick among them. That is your will. We the church should be a destroyer of sickness. We the church should be set against sickness, in the same way that you were set against sickness. Everyone who came to you was healed. You never created sickness, never made anyone sick, never left anyone sick, never told anyone that this needs to go on about 2 more weeks and then we will heal you. You never said that. You just healed us. You never gave an interview and asked, are you worthy? You just healed us because we had faith, because we were in the kingdom. The kingdom is something that needs to invade the darkness. We cannot just tiptoe around this. We have to take it with power, with conviction, with faith. This is the message of the kingdom.